thing that Jesus was master at, of course, was asking questions. To be totally honest with you, I am one that is learning how to ask better questions. Oftentimes when my wife and I are arguing, I'm not talking about fighting, arguing like the Bible, there's iron sharpened iron type arguing, she always seemed to ask me this question: why do you always ask the wrong question? Which is true. If you're not asking the right question, you're not going to get the results that you need. And so in reading what Jesus said and how Jesus asked questions, powerful. I find it very interesting that when we ask questions, we're usually asking questions to gather information. And when Jesus asked questions, he had that in mind, of course, but he asked questions to bring forth transformation. And so when we're asking questions, especially when we consider evangelism, when we consider retention, or when we consider bringing people back to fold, we have to be able to ask the right questions. So this is going to be a classroom setting. I want us to be considering some things. Keep in mind, when you think of the word transformation, especially Romans chapter 12, metamorpho, the idea of changing your mindset. And so we want to keep those things in mind as we are talking today. I want us to look at the handout, because as I was considering some of the things to address, it caused me to ask questions. I asked questions. And so I thought about what type of questions should I ask as relates to this particular topic. I want our young men to be considering these particular questions, because when we consider even looking for a good mate, you want to ask the right questions. You don't want to wait till later and then you begin asking some of those questions while you're in that marriage. You'd be like, man, why didn't I ask these questions before? Or when it's time to approach an employer, you want to ask the right questions. I've learned in my older age that just because I'm being interviewed doesn't mean that I don't interview them. And so it's about asking questions. So a few things I want us to consider, eight things before we get into the scriptures. Number one, closed-ended questions. Closed-ended questions usually invite one answer, yes or no. Yes or no. Okay? Open-ended questions. Open-ended questions require more thought, discussion, or elaboration. Critical or creative discussion. Finding out more information. Critical questions, not yes or no. Now, one thing that I've learned over the years of asking questions and asking the wrong questions, even in Bible study, if I'm not asking the right questions, then I'm not going to draw the right conclusions all the time, especially when you're having conversations with people. You want to learn how to ask the right questions. Number three, funnel questions. Beginning broadly and going narrow, or vice versa. Relationship building. Discovering specific information, or diffusing arguments. You have to learn how to ask these type of questions. If you notice on your handout, in other words, you begin with an open question, then you proceed to a probing question, and then you finally close with a closing question. And so keep those in mind. I want you to be thinking about these as we are discussing the scriptures, and we're only going to be looking at questions that Jesus asked. That's it. We don't want to discuss any questions that were asked to Jesus, just questions that Jesus asked, okay? And so as we're going through some of these things, be considering some questions, because I'm going to ask you some questions and want you to answer some of those. Leading questions, number four. Designed to lead towards certain desired outcomes, whether positive or negative. Now, notice what it says here. Usually, leading questions are undesirable. We're going to see a few of those when we see what Jesus had to say. Loaded questions. Loaded questions are straightforward, closed questions, which contain assumptions. They can be manipulative. Now, one thing I've learned, Jesus did not ask these. He wasn't deceptive at all. What passage, Brother Omar, do we have that Jesus was not deceptive, neither was God found in his mouth? First Peter what?
First Peter 2:22.
And so as I was considering loaded questions, like, whoa, you can't say that Jesus asked deceptive questions because he didn't deceive. So we have to be careful. Well, Jesus asked a whole bunch of loaded questions. Find one. You won't. So we have to be careful. Just because men ask loaded questions doesn't mean that the Son of Man asked loaded questions. Okay? We want to keep that in mind. Probing questions. Useful for gaining clarification, getting more information on the subject. Young men, I'm telling you, if you wait as long as I did to figure some of these gems out, you'll be behind the eight ball. Learn it now. Learn now how to ask questions. And then you probably won't be so shy to talk to a young lady. I'm trying to help y'all brothers out. You're sitting there texting them, you don't even know what to say. Anyway, let me keep on going. Number seven, recall. I'm just telling you what I did. I was scared of girls until I was 20. So, anyway. Number seven, recall or process questions. Questions that require remembering. It also requires respondent to add their opinion to the answer. Questions that stimulate critical thought and in-depth evaluation. I have a little side note on my notes designed to promote linear thinking, meaning a straight line or a single series of steps. And then last but not least, rhetorical questions. Questions that do not require answering. Statements framed as questions to make conversation more engaging. All right, before we go any further into some of the things that I want to discuss, I have a few extra notes. When we think about questions, they require a few things. There are some things that we have to consider when it comes to asking questions and being asked questions, okay? There's some things we have to consider. Number one, we need to consider, put these in your notes because they're not on what I gave you. You have to learn how to hear. You have to learn how to listen, okay? In 23, 24 years of marriage, I've learned how to let my wife complete her thought before saying something. You know, you have to do that when you're reading the Bible. Continue the thought before you say something. All right? So keep that in mind. And remember what Jesus said in Luke 8, verse number 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. You have to learn how to listen. Okay? So asking questions require you listening. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 13, we find something very powerful. I try to live by this passage. It's difficult at times. But nevertheless, the Bible is still right. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 13, here the Bible demonstrates to us, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Okay? And so when we consider asking questions, especially from an evangelistic perspective, as it relates to retention, as it relates to even putting lessons together and conducting Bible classes, you have to learn how to listen and then listen all the way through before you answer. You know, some of us in this room got that problem. Let the person finish talking before you ask your question. They just might tell you the answer before you ask. That's free. Number three, Questions require answers, whether verbal or nonverbal. Okay? So we have to learn how to listen. We have to learn how to answer. We have to understand that questions require answers, whether verbal or nonverbal. Number four, questions. Let's define the word question. Webster says that questions are the act of acting or asking, interrogating, inquiring, examining, or examination. The Hebrew brings out two different words for the idea of questions or asking. Okay? The Hebrew word sha'al, which means to inquire, to ask, or to inquire carefully. Now, you know what that demonstrates to us? It demonstrates to us that we have to think about the question before we ask it, Israel. Think about the question. And so, one of the times, and it's very few times that this word is used, God used it. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job. All this is preliminary. In Job 38, in verse number 3, God himself used this particular word. Job 38 and verse number 3, here the Bible says, "Now prepare yourself like a man, I will sha'al, question you, you shall answer me." Find the same language in chapter 40, verse number 7. But then turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 14, we find a different word, darash, D-A-R-A-S-H, which is the idea of investigation, interrogation. You go back, you check out the context. It's a very powerful context. But in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 14, notice what the Bible here says. "Then you shall ra'ash, inquire, search out." And then you see the word ask in the New King James Version, which is sha'al. You shall ask diligently. So you go back and you check that out. But the point I want to make here is that asking questions is part of life. Asking questions is part of Bible study. Asking questions is part of reading. All right, let's look at the notes that have been given to you. And I want us to consider some questions, looking at closed-ended, open-ended, funnel, leading, probing, process, recall, and rhetorical. And this is where I want us to do a little bit of talking with one another. I want you to be considering some things maybe you've already studied. Maybe some of the things that we say will provoke your thought process. But in asking questions, you'll see your Bible study get better. When Brother Jason called me and he wanted me to do this subject here, I said to myself, man, Brian Braswell would probably be the best one to do this because I've learned to ask questions just with him being by my side almost every day because he asks good questions. And he's always asking questions, like, good night, man. Always asking questions. But that's good. Sometimes we don't ask enough questions for the right questions. All right, closed-ended questions. In John chapter 5 and verse number 6, remember, closed-ended questions are what? According to page 1. Yes, no questions. Okay? John chapter 5 and verse number 6, do you want to be made well? Is that a yes or no question? Pretty straightforward, right? Yeah, well, no. Which one is it? Question. Look at John chapter 6, verse 61, and then let's ask something real quick. John 6 and verse 61, questions that Jesus asked. One of the young men read verse 61, another one read verse 67. What does that say?
But Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Doth this offend you?"
Does this offend you? Yes, no question. Does this offend you?
67. Will you also go away?
Something to think about. Anyone give me an example of some closed-ended questions?
Jesus
you can go by, something for you to think about. So when you're approaching the Bible and you're thinking about some questions that Jesus used to teach, I love that one in John 5, verse number 6. Do you want to be made well? That's a good question. Let's ask this question here. How would that question, being framed, help us in evangelism? Yes.
When we look at the sort of main evangelistic text in Acts chapter 8, there is inquiry. Do you understand what you're reading? For example, Acts 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And so you're engaging his internal drive to be able to want to search for God. In the same way in John chapter 5, the internal drive is to be resolved and healed physically. And so do you have an understanding? What is your approach? And that allows him to be able to engage in the person with information to meet him at the actual point of engagement.
Good. Sometimes it's good to confirm. So if you can say, do you believe that?
Anyone else?
At the point of that question, it gives us an inquiry to that lost soul. If we should stay and teach and preach to them, or if we should shake the dust off our sandals and find someone who is receptive. If they say no, then we have a precedent example here as well to perhaps find the good soul, the good and honest one.
So the point of the day, the thing is.
It also be used to open your mind and make you see that you're sick. Sometimes people don't know that they're sick. By asking that question, you're already putting it in their minds that there's something that needs to be healed.
We're going to a brother in Christ that has had the ability to stand and go to his house. Like, are you ready to leave this life? Excuse me, yes or no? You want to be made well? How about closing the question? Opening the questions. What do you see? John 1, 35, 37. What do you think evil? Why do you think evil in your heart? Usually open-ended questions are what, why, what if, how. Young man, these are good exercises for you to just do on your own. I guarantee you, if you begin to do these exercises and you're talking to someone who is a little bit older than you or maybe much older than you, they'll say, this is a pretty good vocabulary. Check him out. Let me bring him in. Let me work with him. Make him better. So it's not just going to help you in your Bible study, it's going to help you in your life as well. And so Jesus asked, of course, look at Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 14, I'm sorry, verse 31. There he says to his disciples, why did you doubt? It's a good question. Why did you doubt? So do you think that Jesus wanted a response? You know, we ought to ask that question to people when we're talking to them in evangelism. We just finished studying for the last 12 weeks. What's keeping you from obeying? Why are you doubting the information? Well, my mother and my father, they're members of such and such. So why are you doubting? One thing I love about evangelism, you can be creative. You use these questions to be creative with them. And so, why did you doubt? Look at John 5. John 5, verse number 44. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? How can you believe? How can you believe? Those good how questions. I believe Israel brought out the what and the how, and he was focusing in on the why. But the how is very important too. You have to demonstrate sometimes how to do something to your children, how to do something for a new convert. How do I make this happen? You have to learn how to listen to those questions and hear those questions. Okay? Anyone want to make any comments on that?
So, fishers of men is one method, right, to study with people, and it teaches really a lot of good use of how did you, because they may think they're a Christian, they're not a true Christian, but they think they are. So you may say, well, how did you become a Christian? That's an open question. And then you can write down what they tell you and say, okay, and or have them write it down, maybe set it to the side. So then when you come back later and you come to the truth, they realize that they should, they haven't obeyed the gospel or been baptized for the remission of sin, then you can ask questions and you can say, you know, now did you do what they did? Yes or no, right? But I already have that open question where they've already put it on paper what they did.
Right.
They
closed it.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes,
just a general thought. We should never ask a question of someone that we're not first willing to ask and answer ourselves.
Questions actually going through this study actually helped me because he was trying to control the conversation that we were having through his questions. And I'm saying to myself, nah, bro, you're not about to control this conversation. But I take the conversation back with the questions. See, I mean, so this is not just biblical. This will help you save thousands of dollars when you're dealing with people. I have Brother Carey and then Brother Elliot.
Start the study, I have 13 questions that I ask for them to answer on a piece of paper. And one or several of the questions, have you ever been baptized? How were you baptized? Why were you baptized? I just put that in a file and I tell them I'm keeping it for my personal things. I'm going to put it aside. But then when you get to baptism and they
guess the reason we're going through some of the questions that Jesus asked so we can get acquainted. And so the more you study his questions, the better question asked you will be, really hopefully.
Well, I was thinking of the question in Acts 2 that was referenced, and add to that the question by the Ethiopian eunuch of Isaiah, and does he speak of himself or does he speak? What kind of questions are those questions in this list? Where would they fall? So it's important for us to know not just how to ask questions, but how to receive questions and to place them in the category in which they fall. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? He was, I don't see that as a probing question to Jesus because he didn't even wait around for the answer. So where they fit.
And when they ask the
question, yes.
You know, sometimes you ask the question at the wrong time. Look at the next one. I wanted Jackson. Jackson's not in here, right? Jason's here. Final questions. Remember the Lord held conversations to bring about transformation. John 4, 1 through 26, Jesus didn't ask questions but made strong statements in leading her where he wanted the conversation to go. Final questions teach us how to govern and control the conversation. And so Jason, being an insurance guy, he uses this method. I know he uses this method. When you consider funnel questions, you are starting broad or you can start very narrow with your questions and you're going out. You're trying to lead the conversation, trying to get the sale. Give me an example, Brother Jason, of how you would handle this type of situation.
Funnel question?
Yeah, just think about
give me your money, you're
going to
die.
Give me your money, you're going to die.
So take a situation like this, if you're talking non-evangelist and practical application. So say, now, Brother Bob, how long have you been married to
23 years.
23 years. Do you love him?
Yes.
That's a closed question. Why do you love him? That's an open question. So you. So why do you love him?
Because he cooks.
Life would be the same without her, would it? You know, have you ever thought about what would happen if she were gone and you love her enough, you want to take care of her? But yeah, what would happen if you were gone? You would want her to take care of, would you?
She'd get that check.
Oh, see, now, you see, I bring you toward a life insurance discussion here. Okay. But you're using questions to help people reflect on their need and so you can give them a solution to that need if you're truly taking care of the right way. And that, but if you apply this to the gospel, now you're dealing with the soul, not just material, but it's the same concept once you're deeper.
And when I was studying this, looking at the phone system, and talking about even what Brother Marty said, really kind of just fit into the funnel system, because he started with these statements and he was drawing her in, and then he got her right where he needed her to be, and then what did she do in response? She went and told. Next thing you know, you had all of those people coming to him, and so. This is some things that we have to be working on. Yes, sir, Brother Joe.
I think this lesson is great. I actually want to ask a question, and I consider myself a young preacher, and I want to bring up something that Omari said regarding foolish questions coupled with this funnel. And as a young preacher, what I have allowed to happen to my detriment is allow some members with foolishness on their hearts to funnel me into an answer. There's a motive behind what they're asking. Between the two of you, can you talk a little bit about that? About as a teacher or a preacher addressing questions, being on guard for foolish questions that are there leading you to try to address something that was never your intention to address?
Well, you definitely have to define what foolish is. Once you know what that is, then you can either answer the question or not answer the question. And really, when people are trying to draw you in with foolish questions,
I was going to say, you can answer a question with question in order to take that back or divert where you need to go with that. And that's how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the scribes oftentimes was to, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. In other words, you answer a question with a question.
That's in Matthew 21. And John and I were talking about that yesterday, right? Matthew 21. And so they came to him. He says, the things that were foolish. He said, okay, I'll answer your question. She answered my question. So Marty wanted to add something to that. He did call it.
Yeah, I think that that's great. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 11, we're not discerners of spirits. That's a miraculous gift. And so it's very difficult to be able to know the heart. After being fruit inspectors, Matthew chapter 7, verses number 16 through 17. And so it's very important that how not to draw, be drawn in. You're supposed to shun it. You're supposed to avoid it. And there's some initial questions that you can be able to ask to praise whether or not this is just a foolish, hypothetical inquiry to be able to try to distract from the actual issue of what's transpiring, or whether or not the person is actually trying to seek in order to be able to get an informed question. And so that was what Jesus was doing. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or is it of men? So if you're not willing to concede the truth of what's transpiring, your motive is off. But if you later read, after he answers the Sadducees and then the Herodians, no man therefore thirst asked him any more questions. And his final culminating question was, David, is he Christ's son? And how would he call him Lord? And if you look from that point, we're supposed to be putting to silence the foolishness of men. But we have to be very, very adept at answering and asking questions from scriptural perspective.
Yes, sir.
Paul charged Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:4, and he's warning about endless genealogies and fables because they lead to further questions rather than godly edification.
Sure.
And so he kind of entrapped under, kind of catching you in those bad conversations, bad questions. Paul warned the young Greek Timothy this.
Yes, sir.
The Bible makes a clear distinction between people who are naive and simple as opposed to people who know better and should know better, and therefore asking a question perhaps out of an ulterior motive. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 23, you remember when they asked the question of Jesus concerning the tribute, and Jesus responds famously, whose inscription is on it. But the Bible tells us that Jesus perceived their craftiness in the question that they asked. And of course, that may hint a little bit to what Paul Marley was talking about, the discerning of spirits. Today, we're limited, but once we detect or we know that we're dealing with someone who is beyond the simplicity or the naiveness, and we know that they're doing this for an ulterior motive, that's a little bit different. So we have to make that distinction in who we're dealing with.
That's a great point. Young men, I know I keep bringing y'all up. Y'all listen to this. That's a great point. Especially when you're dealing with young girls that are being deceptive. Okay? If you get trapped, next thing you know, you got 18 years of child support. That's free. You can do whatever you want to with that. Just tell you how it is. Well, what's that, Proverbs 5 or 6? Proverbs 7? It's 5, 6, or 7? I better read that. Number four, real quick. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You said, you know, Jesus never asked a loaded question. But I think Matthew 21, 25, the baptism of John, where did it come from heaven or from men? Was that not a loaded question? Because he knew that they were reasoning and they had a manipulative thing that they were trying to ask him. So I'm wondering now what category and
also not be having a verbal dispute and defining loaded two different ways? In other words, loaded, by the way you're using loaded is the idea of a deceptive question.
I'm using loaded the way that it's defined.
When did you stop beating your wife?
Exactly. Exactly.
When did you stop?
So.
Did you stop already? Yes, I did.
After
all,
I'm probably going to hear a word.
No, I don't.
That's
it. Therefore elicit.
So do you really do something like that?
So it's inherent in the question to be able to drive the agenda that that
is. Right.
So the question is, here's the question.
Mike Hunter, we're on tape. Mike Hunter doesn't beat his wife.
Which contains assumptions, it can be seen as manipulative. I don't see where it says deception in there. That's what I'm.
Well, manipulative is, that's not good, is it?
It can. If somebody's trying to manipulate, if you're studying with somebody, you want to move that conversation to get to their soul. Is that not manipulating?
Not in the sense that we think about it. Okay. But if someone's trying to manipulate you, Terry, that's not a good thing.
Usually probing questions can demonstrate care and concern, all right? How can I help you? Can you tell me more about the present situation? How long has this been an issue? You think about Mark 9:21. You go back and you read the road to Emmaus. Jesus is asking questions there. Go back and read that. But look at Mark 9:21. It's one of my favorite accounts in Scripture. Of course, Jesus comes off the Mount of Transfiguration. The multitude is there. They're questioning his apostles. The man comes up. His father is the father of a man who had a son. And he asked him, how long has this been happening to him? It's a probing question. He's wanting more information. When we're thinking about probing questions, especially evangelism again, retention, helping people in the Lord's church, we want to learn how to ask probing questions because it demonstrates care and concern, and it helps them to say, okay, you know what, this person here is very interested in me. And so Jesus would ask these type of questions all of the time. John 10:24 is another one, something for y'all to think about. Any final thoughts? Just go ahead and read the rest of the notes. Yes, sir. Josiah.
I think the good thing with questions